I'm Nikki Sweat, host of Music at Menlo's Audio Notes. On Sunday, July 31st, pianist Michael Brown performs a solo recital. He'll start with the spirit and energy of Joseph Haydn, play delightful and strange works of the 19th and 20th centuries, and also present two of his own recently written compositions. The first half of the program features Haydn's 1789 Fantasy Capriccio in C major, homages to Haydn written in 1909 by Claude Debussy and Maurice Ravel, the West Coast premiere of Brown's own homage to Haydn, written in 2020 on a commission from Music at Menlo, and a beguiling and groundbreaking work that Ravel wrote between 1904 and 1905, his Miroir. Michael Brown told me more about his vision for this concert.
One of the great aspects of being a solo pianist composer is the idea of designing a program, designing an experience where you have to tell a story and hold people's attention for 2 hours or something, and you have the sole ability to create something that they've never heard before. And that's what I like to do with recital programs. This program started out by Wuhan and I talking about Haydn, because it's a Haydn year. And I was thinking about all the Haydn solo piano pieces that I played and thinking about his impact on other composers as well. And I've always been quite fond of these two homages to Haydn from 1909 to commemorate the centenary of Haydn's death by Maurice Ravel and Claude Debussy. And a lot of people know the Ravel piece, fewer people know the Debussy Haydn homage, and they're very different. They're based on the same tune, Haydn's name. So that was kind of the source. That's how I started the little cell that created this program. I start the concert with a Haydn fantasy, and then the program sort of evolves with the sort of spirit of Haydn throughout everything. When I put together a program, I also am thinking, what am I going to derive the most pleasure from working on? Because it's an unending process. It never ends, the amount of preparation that will go into basically any musical performance, and especially a solo recital. I mean, it just never ends. So the music has to be worthy of that kind of devotion. The C major fantasy, also known as Capriccio, it's a delightful, sparkling, I thought very fun way to start a concert. I mean, it is literally humorous. Haydn has, he's got a lot of cross-handed stuff where the left goes over the right hand and vice versa. He writes in these long dramatic pauses where he actually instructs the performer to hold the notes as long as possible until the sound dies away before moving on to something else. There's all these little moments where the music just stops, literally just stops. I find it almost laugh out loud funny, this piece. I mean, it's based on an Austrian folk tune, The Farmer's Wife Who Lost Her Cat, which already is a funny image, The Farmer's Wife Who Lost Her Cat. I find it absolutely fun to play. I mean, Haydn was a pianistic genius. He's inventing a new language. There's so much in this piece. It's seemingly simple, yet he goes to all sorts of wild key areas. He goes to modulates to places you wouldn't expect. often without any preparation. He has long silences, and then he comes in, you're in a different key. It's a piece that I just find a lot of fun to play. I think it's a great opener to a concert. It's fun and celebratory and just completely humorous and delightful. So I became familiar with the Ravel Minuet on the Name of Haydn a long time ago. I heard it in a concert somewhere and I was blown away by how he takes that Haydn motive. So what that Haydn motive means is the five letters in Haydn's name, H-A-Y-D-N, Ravel spells out musically. He actually puts on top of the score that H becomes B natural, and A is the note A, and Y becomes D, D is D, and N becomes G. What's cool about the Ravel and Debussy homages is that they use the same musical motive and do completely different things with it. B, A, D, D, G. I think there's a plaintive nostalgia in the Ravel piece. It's very, in some ways, simple. It has these extremely lush and complex harmonies that kind of float in the air. It's very, 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 very almost timeless. It has a harkens like a nostalgia for a different era. You know, he feels a plaintive quality towards the past, so kind of infusing classicism with his unique style and his lush, rich, complex harmonies. It's honestly a 2-minute masterpiece. And the Debussy piece, based on Haydn, is, for me, like a bit like a jazz improv piece. He has a little introduction. And then he has this kind of flowing, almost like mini jazz piece. It's like really cool. And completely different than the Ravel. My piece, I called Etude Fantasy in the Name of Haydn, and I used the same B, A, D, D, G pitches that Ravel and Debussy used in their 1909 homages for the centenary of Haydn's death. And I call it Etude Fantasy because I'm also riffing on that fantasy that one would have heard at the top of the show, that Haydn fantasy, where Haydn uses these crazy cross-handed idea, these figurations that he's always crossing over. It's always humorous. It's got double notes. It's difficult. It's not easy to play, and he goes to surprising places, and the music stops and starts. So I was thinking, how can I infuse the Haydn motive from Debussy and Ravel with Haydn's wit and sense of keyboard writing and put my own thing in it as well. guitar is a massive piano piece. It's a massive piano outpouring of five movements with programmatic titles. What I love about it is that each movement is really reflecting of one of his friends from this group. He would sort of go around Paris at night called Les Apaches, or like the hooligans. They were composed of writers and poets, and you know, they're part of the creative process, all of these people. The poet named Léon Paul Fargue, his poetry really inspired the first piece of Miroir called Noctuelle, which means night moths. This idea of scampering and fluttering around the keyboard, you know, unpredictably and rapidly and extremely realistic in a way for night moths, you know, almost annoyingly. But the harmonic language is so strange and so modernistic in a way in the Noctuelle. It almost takes a little time to decipher what's going on. It's extremely revolutionary music, I think, Miroir. It definitely is a departure in Ravel's style from Godot and the slightly more romantic inspired pieces. I mean, he's now fusing, you know, classicism and modernism in a way that is so unique to him. The second piece is called Oiseaux Tristes, which means sad birds. And that piece basically opens up with these just very two B flats that just keep repeating. I often think that it's a dialogue of birds. Actually, Ravel said this. He described the piece as birds lost in the torpor of a very dark forest during the hottest hours of summer. And when I'm practicing this piece, you can really feel what Ravel is talking about, that there's a sense that the birds are lost. There's a lazy, almost quality that they can't move, but yet they're in dialogue with each other. The third piece is called Barque sous l'Océan, a boat in the ocean, and that's probably the largest piece of the set, I would say, time-wise and pianistically all over the keyboard-wise. It's an exploration in Liszt-ian arpeggios and almost glassy clarity of bell-like sonorities on top of this kind of undulation. It's an incredible landscape and this image of the boat in the ocean just sort of rocking. And what I love is Ravel often creates this sort of blanket of sound, and then you can hear little notes and melodies and motives just pop out. The fourth piece is the most famous piece by far. Alberata del Grazioso, the comedian's Obad. It's a hard title to translate, but it's the Spanish-inspired Ravel. He's got this idea of the morning song, of the jester, the kind of buffoon character luring someone. You'll hear guitar, flamenco guitar inspired motives and castanets and crazy glissandos, double notes, and just a raucous sort of Spanish flair. You would think the piece, it has such a huge ending, you would think the piece ends there, because everyone applauds after the fourth piece. Well, maybe not during my recital, that won't happen, but you never know. And every time I played the piece, people think that's the end, but that's not the end. And after that, he goes into a very unusual final movement called La Vallée des Cloches, the Valley of Bells, which again, he creates this lingering sonic haze, this kind of procession of overtones that hover in the air. It's such an imaginative piece, the world he creates. He creates a half an hour world in this miroir. And it's often surprising. He doesn't necessarily play into what you might expect. He's often doing the opposite of what you might expect.
The second half of this program is built around pairings of pieces before a final number that brings it all together. An 1830 song without words by pianist and composer Delphine von Schauroth opens the set, followed by Felix Mendelssohn's Opus 14 Rondo Capriccioso, compiled for von Schauroth that same year. Then the two hands momentarily split, first for Michael Brown's appropriately titled Breakup Etude for Right Hand Alone, and after for Alexander Scriabin's sublime 1894 Nocturne for Left Hand Alone. They reunite for a performance of Adolf Schultz-Evler's show-stopping virtuosic set of arabesques on themes from Johann Strauss's iconic Blue Danube waltz. Michael Brown explains the aim behind his pairings, starting with an introduction to Delphine von Schauroth.
She was an incredible pianist, apparently, and came to Mendelssohn when she was 11 years old and played for him, and he was very impressed. And then she came back to him when she was 16, and he was still impressed, but also impressed with not only her piano playing, but her physical beauty. And the two started some kind of romance, or at least some kind of idea of romance, and wrote pieces for each other. She wrote an entire set, Opus 18, Songs Without Words. I'm going to play the first one. which is written for Felix Mendelssohn, and it's in the same key as his Rondo Capriccioso, which he sort of recomposed as a musical gift for her. The Delphine piece starts with a little introduction and this kind of flowing arpeggios with changing harmonies. And then she has the main tune come in. And Mendelssohn does the same thing too. There's an introduction to the introduction. So he starts with a bunch of just E major chords in different inversions and before the main tune comes in. So it's a similar formula. It's almost like the introduction to the Rondo Capriccioso, which is a fast section, is another Songs Without Words. And then the Rondo Capriccioso is classic Mendelssohn. He's got his capricious quality, of course. He's got wit. He's got unbelievably inventive pianistic virtuosity. Summer of 2020, I'm sure for a lot of people, was a very strange summer. It was a pandemic summer where most of our lives were completely put on hold. Unfortunately, in the thick of all of that and dealing with that and getting used to all that, I had a finger injury on my pinky on my left hand. I tore a tendon. And that was a absolute devastating blow, because one of the few things that was giving me real happiness during this time was the idea of learning music without having to perform it, was the idea of like trying to be creative in my own space without having to immediately package it and be ready for a concert. It was so fruitful in a certain way, that time of solitude. But now I suddenly could only play with 9 fingers. Piece that I wrote, Break Up Etude for the Right Hand Alone, is also inspired by a romantic relationship, the heartbreak of mine, in addition to the finger injury. So it was a bit of a desperate time for me. I was feeling somewhat angry at the world, as much as I can be angry. And I decided that I thought it would be fun to have another etude, especially to go with that etude fantasy that you've heard on the first half, based on Haydn, that was based on kind of my emotional state at the time and my physical state of what I could actually play at the piano. So I wanted to see what would happen if I wrote a crazy piece for Right Hand Alone, and that's what I did. And it's a crazy piece. It's insanely difficult. I needed something to practice, so I made it extra difficult on myself. And it basically uses the entire piano in ascending and descending crazy arpeggios and moments of tender nostalgia interspersed. But I'd like to think that there's also like a sense of humor about it too. So I paired that with Scriabin's Nocturne for Left Hand Alone, which Scriabin had hand problems as well, because he was a great pianist and he tended to overpractice and strain and had problems with his right hand. And he wrote two pieces in Opus 9. I'm going to play the second one, the Nocturne, which is a unbelievably gorgeous romantic outpouring for Left Hand Alone. And I thought that would be kind of a, now that my left hand is back functioning, I thought that would be kind of fun to put the two pieces together. So I kind of wanted to put the kitchen sink into this concert. And I feel like this Adolf Schutz-Ebeler Blue Danube Arabesque transcription is just the perfect piece to reunite my hands after they take a little break from playing together. It's a transcription, meaning he takes tunes from waltzes from the Blue Danube and basically also puts the kitchen sink pianistically into each one of them. Adds an introduction, which is so unbelievably difficult, full of cascades of notes. There's so much black on the page, it's even hard to read the score. I thought this would be a fun way to end the program, sort of reunion of my hands at the end of the show, and a way to kind of tie everything together in a humorous and exuberant way. It's a fantastic outpouring of devilishly difficult pianistic creativity and invention. But if I still have any energy left of the concert, hopefully that will come across at least slightly.
Audio notes are written and produced by Nikki Sweat in consultation with David Finkel and Wu Han. Many thanks to Michael Brown for speaking with me on this Audio Notes session. Musical excerpts appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Haydn's Fantasia Capriccio in C major, HOB 17-4, was played by Michael Brown. Debussy's Hommage à Haydn and Ravel's Minuet sur le Nom de Haydn are played by Yavor Brassik and appear on the Labor label. Ravel's Miroir, performed here by Michael Brown, can be heard on the album Noctuelle from First Hand Records. Michael Brown could also be heard playing von Schauroth's Song Without Words, Opus 18, No. 1, Mendelssohn's Introduction in Rondo Capriccioso in E major, Opus 14, and his own Breakup Etude. Scriabin's Nocturne for Left Hand Alone was played by pianist Gloria Chen. And Schutz Evler's Concert Arabesques on themes from Johann Strauss's The Beautiful Blue Danube, Opus 13, is played by Thomas Labe from a sonoluminous album titled The Virtuoso Johann Strauss. Audio Notes are a copyrighted production of Music at Menlo.